Today's reading is in John 19, starting in verse 1. John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." As we've been noticing, John's focus is a little bit different than a lot of the other accounts, not giving details where others do and giving other details that other accounts don't. But this verse 1, the way it's translated, states that they took Jesus and flogged him. I kind of feel like that's just too mild of a word. The mistreatment that Jesus had at their hands, it's not just a normal whipping or beating. If you'd like me to sit down with you and describe it to you sometime, I will. But it's hard for me to read this and not tear up. It's hard for me to think about what Jesus went through and just not feel a sense of remorse and sadness. And it really bothers me that people would go to such lengths to abuse somebody else, to inflict terrible torment. But they torment him in this way, and then they mock him. "Hail, King of the Jews," striking him. And after this, he says, "I find no guilt in him." Well, if you found no guilt in him, why in the world are you treating him this way? Why are you beating a man almost to death? Of course, they're going to turn around and put him to death anyway, but still, it's terrible to think about. As I mentioned before, the leaders of the Jews have already decided what they want to happen to Jesus. There's no middle ground for them. There's no going back. Even when Pilate comes out and says, I don't find any guilt in this man. I don't find any reason to put him to death. Isn't this enough for you? You know, look at what we've done to him. Isn't this enough?" And they say, "No, it's not enough. Crucify him. Crucify him." The hatred that they had for Jesus, simply because he told the truth and simply because he was different than what they thought he ought to be or thought he should be. But John told us in the beginning that Jesus was the light that had come into the world, and those that loved the darkness, they shunned the light. And here we're seeing how strong that shunning is. It's not just turning away from it. It's, I'm gonna put it down. I'm going to shut it out. I'm going to make it stop shining at all. It's not that I don't want it, but I don't want anybody else to have it either. That's what we're seeing here. And so they said, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate says, "Well, you can do this. Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." And Pilate doesn't want the blood on his hands. Doesn't want to be responsible for killing someone he finds no guilt in. At least we can give Pilate a little credit for that. just with the idea that that he didn't want to do something like this, like killing somebody who had no guilt. Though on the other hand, I will say he was willing to beat him severely, despite the fact that he found no guilt in him. But he tells them to do it themselves, and they say, no, but we have a law that he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And it says that Pilate was even more afraid. And so he goes back, he talks to Jesus, and says, where are you from? That was not a secret. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He was widely known where he was from, so this is not a secret at all. But he asked Jesus. Jesus does not answer. He's not going to give him an answer. I think that's a little perplexing for us. There are several instances in which Jesus is asked questions during this phase of before he was crucified, in which he doesn't give any answers. He's just not going to answer. And then there's other times he does. It's perplexing to us because if we're in that position, we would want to defend ourselves. And Jesus is not defending himself. He's there to fulfill the plan of God. He's ready to die. Pilate is perplexed by this as well, since he says, you won't speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? And Jesus says, you don't have any authority but what has been given to you. And so he ends this with, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. I tie this in with what we're going to see with Pilate, that he doesn't want this blood on his hands. He wants others to make the decision, and he wants to wash his hands of it. He's referring to Annas and Caiaphas. He's referring to those that arrested him and bore false witness against him, and then planned this all out so that they would bring him to Pilate so that he would be killed. And not even just killed, but let's rush right into it, pushing for him to be done. And then, of course, you know, he wasn't supposed to hang on the Sabbath or do anything with the Sabbath, so they want him removed before that time. So if he wasn't dead, they wanted him killed. If it wasn't enough to put him on the cross, then they were going to kill him at that time as well. And so, again, they're the ones with this blood guilt. We also know that there were some prominent Jews who were believers, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. We don't have anything recorded about them speaking up. Sometimes we refer to Joseph especially as a secret disciple until he comes and asks for the body of Jesus. And maybe that's so, and maybe it's not. It's possible we simply don't have anything recorded, or it's possible that they knew that they were believers and excluded them from all of this. There's other possibilities. But nonetheless, shouldn't Caiaphas and Annas been able to see that this was Jesus? Now, they have a lot of guilt on their hands. It's a lot for us to think about today. Let's be a courageous people. Let's be a courageous people that will speak out for Jesus. We're not there at his trial. We're not there when everybody's crawling to crucify him. But we stand here today to proclaim his name. Let's do so boldly, with courage. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.